Thanks for listening to iTruths, the teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church of Texarkana, Texas. I'm Richard Hornock, the senior pastor of Fellowship Bible Church, and the following is a message that I delivered during one of our Sunday morning worship services. I trust it will be beneficial to your walk with Jesus Christ. Thanks again.
Let's see, what is this sermon about? My favorite subject, paying the preacher and the bills. Take your Bible and turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. You guys didn't know the book of Galatians was this long, but we actually have today and then again next week, and we will have done a very thorough job of examining this important book of Scripture. You know, as we have been walking through the book of Galatians, you know, I have been reminded a bunch of my childhood, because as many of you know, I grew up in Salt Lake City. That's where I was raised. That's the headquarters of the Church of Jesus Christ, the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, who are adamant about how salvation is by faith plus works. And the primary theme of the book of Galatians is that no, it isn't. It is faith plus nothing. It is by grace you are saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. And so I've thought a whole bunch about my experience of just being raised there and opportunities to talk with people about the faith alone in Christ alone gospel that the Bible teaches. And one of the things I thought about, particularly when I saw this passage and started to prepare for it, is, you know, if you're very familiar with the LDS faith, they have no paid clergy. Everyone's a volunteer. The people that actually work for the church, you know, they're more administrative, but all of the clergy are not paid. They're volunteers. They also happen to mostly be independently wealthy people, like, say, Mitt Romney, who really could put in 20 hours and nobody's gonna, you know, say anything about it. But, you know, that was one of their things. Well, as you know, my dad was a pastor of a church and a Bible church there. And we were this anomaly. Not only did I believe you got to heaven just by faith, believing in Jesus, plus nothing, Richard's dad didn't work. He was a pastor. I mean, what? I mean, and kind of the word got out. I remember one of my friends saying, well, everyone thinks you guys are loaded because you guys have, you know, your dad doesn't work. He just is the pastor of the church. I mean, how does that work? And so that's one of those things that, you know, some people look at it and they say, okay, well, why do we pay them, you know? And I've always said, hey, it is the best hourly rate I can get. That's why I preach so long. And the trouble is I wish we could, you know, get a couple more hours of work in and just double or triple the salary. That's a joke, but you guys aren't laughing. So you're still shocked about this. Well, here's what I want to remind you of, okay? We've been looking at the book of Galatians, and at the end of the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul gets down to where he just deals with some practical ramifications of this salvation by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. And when we get to this last paragraph, chapter 6, verse the one that's contained between verses 6 and verse 10, basically, he's answering the question, well, how do you pay for church? How does this thing work? And we might be saying, well, now, why in the world would they have asked that question? How do you pay for church? Here's what the deal is. In every system in the world, up until that time, you paid for your spiritual nourishment. You paid for your education, anything to do with self-development, you paid for it. In fact, it was paid for compulsory. You know, you think about the Jewish nation, Israel, they paid their clergy through the tax system. You know, you had to give a tenth. And they knew whether you were giving a tenth because they could look at it and they counted it up. And so they took care of the Levites, who were the primary spiritual teachers, and they took care of the priests, who were the guys that actually did the religious stuff there at the temple or the tabernacle. They paid for them out of those taxes that you had to pay. In the Gentile world, it was basically the same. But when you come to the New Testament, the system totally changes. It was something they'd never seen before. It was voluntary. Now, yeah, the scripture tells us we are commanded to give, even in this passage we look at, but we don't have a giving accountability committee that goes around and makes sure you pay. We don't send you a bill and mark it off as paid in full when you give. It's voluntary. In other words, we are a restaurant that you can come and eat at, and there's a basket or a box or click, you know, 84321, your payment in. It's all voluntary. You can eat here as much as you want. You could eat at First Baptist as much as you want, or Northside, or Williams, or pick your choice there on Moore's Lane. You could go there and eat all you want, and nobody's ever going to see if you paid for your food. That's the new system. It wasn't like that in the Jewish world. It wasn't like that in the Gentile world. But there was something about salvation by grace through faith, and God said, you know what? From now on, it's voluntary. Now, that doesn't mean I'm lowering the standard. It just means now I'm actually raising the standard because I want you to involve yourself, not just in grace living, but in grace giving. And that's what this passage is about. Now, another thing that is important to remember about this passage in particular, this, as I've said several times, and I'd like you to remember it, Galatians was the first book of the New Testament that was written. It definitely was the first book that Paul wrote. So in other words, this little paragraph that we're going to look at it, this was the first time God's thoughts about giving, about paying for church, were committed to writing on this side of the cross. Lots of stuff in the Old Testament, but this is the first time since Jesus died for our sins and everything's free, this is the first time it was ever addressed. And so Paul is basically just kind of shooting from the hip, not because he's just making it up as he goes, but it's like he wants to get this letter in the mail. And so he just boom, 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 boom. Remember who the old preacher is? You'll hear him on the radio, on some radio station still, James Vernon McGee. He said this is probably the most blunt passage in all the New Testament. In other words, the Apostle Paul just kind of got to the end and it's like, I got to wrap this thing up. You know, the mailman's coming at 5. We want this thing in the mail. And here's what I'm going to say. So you know what? He gives us all of the teaching of the New Testament in these couple verses, but he doesn't sugarcoat it. He just gives it to us. So look at your Bible. Because what he's talking about here is what you're supposed to do when it comes to paying for church. Now, initially, he's just going to talk about, you know, paying the preacher, the guy that teaches. Why was that? Well, because at that time, in about 50 AD, you know, 20 years after Jesus, that's all they had. They didn't have buildings. They didn't have, you know, a live stream that they had to pay a subscription for, or curriculum that they wanted to get from the Gospel Coalition or whoever they wanted to buy their curriculum from. They didn't have it. The only expense they had was that guy. They didn't have any buildings, you know, so they didn't have a light bill and a gas bill and a mortgage payment and all those good things. The youth group walked everywhere. They didn't have any chariots of their own and horses that they had to keep fed. The only expense they had was the preacher. But initially, he's basically talking about how do we fund this thing? If we were in Old Testament Israel, it'd just be a portion of your taxes that goes towards it. If it was one of these Gentile pagan religions that you guys used to be involved in, well, that was funded the same way. You didn't have a choice. But here's how we do it in light of the gospel. It's a grace-giving method. But basically what he says, like I said, very blunt. So verse 6, he just gives the principle. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. It's basically the principle. You're getting some spiritual nourishment. You need to take care of the person's physical needs. All good things with them. You pay for what you eat. You pay for what you take. You go to a restaurant, it's expected that you're going to pay for the food. You're going to pay for the service. You're going to compensate it. We basically see here that the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. And again, even though it's a voluntary system, because there's no government that's going to make it happen, Paul still says, that's what it's supposed to be. And in fact, he commands them. You're supposed to share with the one who taught you all good things. That's what you're supposed to do. And Paul is commanding them to do it. And then look at verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. It's kind of interesting. This is the first time in the New Testament that what we call the law of the harvest is introduced in there. And basically he's saying, you know what? God's not mocked. God recognizes what you do with the resources you have, with the material resources you have, and whatever you sow, that will you also reap. It's just a cause and effect type relationship. Now, some of us can look at that and say, man, that concept has really been abused. And yeah, in some circles, it really was abused. And probably one of the biggest mistakes we made in our circle is we saw that abuse, so we kind of went the other way. But let me just tell you, there is a mystical nature to this law of the harvest that is absolutely true. You get what you sow. You sow this, you reap that. You sow a little, you reap a little. You sow a lot, you reap a lot. And that kind of, like I said, kind of makes us bristle. I mean, sure, we're going to balance it and we're going to keep the whole tone of Scripture in there. I mean, it's not give 10 bucks, get 100 bucks. It might be give 10 bucks, get $5 back, but boy, you get $95 worth of something else in sort of way of blessing. Life is good. It doesn't always translate into dollars or better health or better whatever, but there is a promise that is mentioned right here. You sow a little, you get a little. You sow a lot, you get a lot. God's not mocked. That's the way he set it up from the very beginning. Even in the Old Testament, even though there was compulsory giving, you still could shaft the system. Just like we can still cheat our system. You can cheat on your taxes. You don't have to pay it all. I mean, it might slip through and you could get out of that, or they might accept that deduction. You can cheat the system. And sometimes we can cheat the IRS and get out of it. But you know what Paul says? God's not mocked. You cannot cheat him. You're dealing with the all-knowing, all-sufficient, sovereign God of the universe. And he has basically said, here's the deal. You're supposed to share with the one who has shared with you spiritual things. You're supposed to share material things. God's not mocked. You sow a little, You're going to get a little. You sow a lot, you're going to get a lot. Verse 8. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. Now, he's not talking here in terms of how you get eternal life. This is one of those instances where eternal life is referred to as the quality of our life. I mean, you really want to enjoy this God life that God has provided for you through the death of Jesus Christ. You obey me in this area. You sow to the Spirit. Sow to the flesh. That's just going to work out in corruption. And then verse 9. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. What's he saying? I mean, the law of the harvest, particularly when it comes to this whole grace-giving thing, it doesn't always mean that, you know, you put a seed in the ground and 90 days later you got a stalk of corn that produces several ears. It might be 90 years later. So don't get weary in well-doing. God functions at his own timetable. The law of the harvest is still there. But God isn't functioning on our four seasons and with our 12 months of calendar. So don't get weary. It's so easy for us to get weary and saying, well, I give, 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 and I'm not getting that blessing. It's not happening. It's, you know, so many things that it doesn't seem like it's working. And Paul says, don't get weary. Verse 10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. In other words, pay your debt. Pay your obligation. Put verse 6 into practice. Now, what's he talking about here? He's going after one of the most sensitive areas of life. Your wallet. Your pocketbook. If you're like me and you still have one, your checkbook. He's going after that 401k that you get a statement on every month. He's going after this thing you call your money. And he's just kind of basically introducing it here. But you know, the thing that's kind of nice for us is this isn't the only place in the New Testament where it was talked about. It was talked about here first, chronologically. I'm sure that the apostles preached on it, but this is the first time the Holy Spirit led anyone to put it in writing. But the scriptures tell us a whole bunch more about it. But it's all here in seed form. But so let me just kind of summarize it for you. And you might even want to jot some of these things down. Essentially, what he's saying here is God has called you to continue to give just like you did in that previous system. That previous system that you Jews, who are now believers, in the same way that you gave then, only then you were doing it because you got a tax bill and you had to give, you're supposed to still give. You don't go to the restaurant and eat for free and walk out when the person's not looking. You pay for your spiritual nourishment. It just makes sense. It's just the way it is. And so don't be deceived. I mean, you're not going to get away with it. God's not mocked. So in other words, here he's laying out this command to all of us that all of us are supposed to give. Every believer in Jesus Christ is to give as God has prospered him. That's one of the second things that is worth writing down. You give as God has prospered you. Get that from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. Because what he's talking about this proportional giving. And there the situation had kind of expanded. There they saw needs outside the church and they wanted to meet those needs. So it's like, okay, we've been taking care of the preachers, but now there's some other things that we as a church need to be doing. And so when you get to 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, now they're figuring out how to tackle more than just coming up with a salary to pay for the ministry staff. There's some things outside the church that we want to do. There's some missions that we want to be involved in. There's some ministry that we want to be involved in. There's some community needs that we want to be involved in. So how do we do it? You know, he says you give regularly. You give proportionally. You give generously. All those things are there part of it. And every once in a while in all of those passages, both in particularly in 2 Corinthians, he sprinkles in this law of the harvest that God blesses as we obey. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that you'll reap. Basically, he's saying all of us get to pick what kind of harvest we have. It takes faith, but all of us choose whether we're going to have a big harvest or whether we're going to have a small harvest. Because God's not mocked. You know, something else that this passage talks about is just the whole idea of not growing weary in it. Of just regular giving to the ministry. You know, in 1 Corinthians 16, he talked about, you know, on the first day of the week, bring it and pile it up so that when the need arises, there's money there to meet that need. And so we give regularly, consistently, even when there's no perceived need to give. You know, sometimes it's like, well, you know, if the church needs money, let me know. And God says, no. You give it to me now so that when there's a need, the church takes care of it. We can respond. We don't have to put the SOS out there. We don't have to do the heave-ho like some churches do and say, whoa, there's a big need. You know, the roof fell in on the student center. We can't get one of the vans started. We got to raise some money for it. No, you give so that when the need's there, there's already the provision for it. And so there's just all kinds of principles that are put up there, and it's all voluntary. And it's all with this backdrop of the law of the harvest. And you know, I was talking to Vicki this morning about it, just wondering how blunt to be. And I'm probably going to be way too blunt, okay? Let me just say it. But you know what? Let me just be honest with you. Every one of us, if you're here today and you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you're not giving, that's sin. That's just sin. And if you're not giving generously and sacrificially and proportionally, that's sin. And all of the New Testament's teaching basically assumes the teaching of the Old Testament. And it's like, as someone said to me, you know, What principle in the Old Testament did God not take and elevate? He never said, well, that was a really tough one, so I'm going to cut it in half. God never said, oh, okay, in the Old Testament, I was asking them for 10%. I was commanding them to give 10%. We'd send the Levites around to collect that 10%. But, you know, I know that's a little tough, so I think I'm going to back it off. He never did that. If anything, it's like, that's the standard. Now go higher. I mean, you know, in the New Testament, God kind of changed the rules of the game. Totally. See, in the Old Testament, it was God gets 10% and the 90%, I can do whatever I want with. And you know what God says? That ain't the way it is anymore. In the New Testament, it's all mine. It's all mine. You are a steward of this money. That $100,000 that you make, that's my money. Because I'm the one that put the breath in your mouth. I'm the one that makes your heart beat. I'm the one that makes your brain wave. I'm the one that gave you, you know, some parents that helped you make some right decisions. And that's why you've got that $100,000 a year job. That's mine, God says. Now, I want you to give some of it to me. And I think the Old Testament provides us with that example of 10%. But he doesn't say 10% and you can go do anything you want with the other 90. The pressure is on because it's all God's. It's like God gave us that money and said, this is my money. Now go on vacation. And when you get back, we'll discuss how you used my money on your vacation. This is my money. Now go buy a house. This is my money. Now go buy a car. This is my money. Now go out to eat. You're spending God's money when you go to that restaurant. You're spending God's money when you go to that clothing store and say, I think I like that. That looks cute. This doesn't look cute. All of it. It's like God's changed the whole system and he said, it's all mine. It's all mine. I know you got bills. I know you need to wear clothes. I know you need some entertainment. I know you need a place to live. I know you need some things that cause enjoyment in your life. But guess what? It's all mine. And I just want you to be a good steward. You know, it's kind of like back in the olden days when we had a whole bunch of kids at home and Vicki and I would leave and we'd say, we want the house clean when we came back. I mean, we had a dog and three cats. We want the house clean. What do they mean by that? You know, does that mean we're going to get down and scrub the floors? Does that just mean we're going to flush the toilets? I mean, there's got to be something in between. And they had to be good stewards of this parenting that said, this is what a clean house looks like. That's the pressure God has put on us. And so this whole thing of giving is really pretty huge. And let me just say one more thing here. One more thing. You know, that whole law of the harvest, and I know as well as any of you do, that was abused and has been abused. And I know there's some folks probably that are still abusing it. You know, send me $10 and you'll get a million, that kind of garbage. Just ain't there. But that doesn't mean this thing is not functional. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. In my experience, I can just honestly tell you, when Vicki and I have given like God wants us to give, and we give 10%, we support about four other missionaries on top of that, because I believe the first 10% needs to come to fellowship. When we give, and because we've given, and since we've given that way, we've never lacked. We have never lacked. I mean, go look at my car. I'm driving a 15-year-old car. But you know what? It starts every morning, and I enjoy driving it. I mean, we have a beautiful home. I mean, our sixth kid just graduated from college yesterday. And the best part of the week was when I pulled up her account on Tuesday or Wednesday, and it said, amount due, zero. That was almost better than the diploma, you know? But what am I saying? God has provided. But you know, I'll just be honest with you. When we were first married in our 20s and 30s, we were haphazard about it. Sometimes I'd give, sometimes I wouldn't. I never intentionally didn't give, but I'd look through the checkbook and I'd realize, oh my goodness, we haven't written a check to the church for 4 months. How could I have forgot that? Oh, you're always doing the offering. You're never there to sit and feel bad when the basket passes and you don't put anything in it. That's how that happened. And I'd say, wow, 4 months. We never gave to the church for 4 months. And I'd say, I wonder where that money went. We should have a couple $1,000 more. Where'd it go? And I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you a bit. You know why? Needs expand to use the money available. Is that not true? Needs expand to use the money available. One of the principles out of the Old Testament is that you give off the top, out of the first fruits. It's not the last 10% you give to the church. It's the first 10% you give to the church. Some people say, well, is that gross or net? Well, it depends on if you want gross or net blessings, really. Quite frankly, I mean, you give God the first. And when we have given God the first, it's always provided. I can guarantee you those times when we went a few months without giving, shoot, everything broke. The refrigerator broke. The dishwasher broke. The kids' feet grew, you know, and we had to buy them clothes and shoes and garbage and all that stuff. I don't know. You know, how did that work? I don't know. But there's a God up there that can, he's got locusts. And sometimes when I'm hoarding some of his money, he sends his locusts and lets them eat it up. And so I thought I had 90% to live on, and I've got 82% to live on, and I don't know where that other 8%'s coming from. But I can guarantee you, when I give to God the way I'm supposed to, I don't know why. I guess we're all on diets, and so we don't eat as much. I don't know. It just works. I remember someone asking me, I mean, you're a pastor. You know, she programs computers a little bit, but I know she doesn't make that much money. How do you guys do it? You got all these kids, and you're sending them to school, and that you even private school them over there at that Veritas thing. How does that work? And you know what my honest answer was? I don't know. All I know is God provides. I can honestly say that the times I have sown, we have sown to the Spirit, we have reaped that eternal life, that quality of life. The times we've not, we haven't. Let me tell you, if you're not giving the way God has called you to give, in obedience, in generosity, sacrificial, consistency, you are totally robbing yourself of God's blessing. Honestly. I mean, let me ask you right now. What did you make? What you just did your taxes about 4 weeks ago, or longer. You know, if that was your income, just do the math. Move the decimal over. Did you give close to 10%? Kind of interesting. I one of our public officials just released his tax return, and he made $600,000. And I thought, well, you know, he always claims to be real religious, always claims he's been part of this church for 50 years. And so I got in and looked at the details a little bit. He didn't even give $2,000 to his church, his local church, for 50 years. And I thought, that's not right. That guy's going to restaurants, ordering up, and walking out when the waitress isn't looking. We're not supposed to be that way. That is not God's standard. God has called us to not just live a grace-guided life like we've been seeing the last couple weeks. He's been calling us to give in a grace-guided way. And I'm not going to send people around. I'm not going to send you a bill. God says, I want you to give and do the appropriate thing and don't get weary in it, because the law of the harvest is still there. So do good to all. Just to wrap it up, you know, I was thinking about it. Why don't we give? Well, a lot of us are in debt. We spent next year's income. Well, that kind of puts us in a dilemma, doesn't it? Because we spent God's income next year. Does debt give us an excuse not to give? Not at all. Our biggest debt is to Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean you shaft the bank. It means you lower your lifestyle so you can give and pay your debts. A lot of it is discipline issues. We just don't get it done. We agree with the concept, but, you know, shoot, at 12:15, we're going to forget. And we won't think about it again for another 6 months because Richard only hits giving about once every 6 months. So we're good to go till October. That's not that. I mean, come on. If I only preached against pornography once every 6 months, does that mean you'll look at it in between? No. Give as God has prospered you. You know, let me just say this. The whole technology thing, giving is easier today than it's ever been. You can set it up online and it's just gone. It's there. If anything, it's like, Vicki and I were even talking about it this last week. I mean, should we really be doing that? Because sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, we do give. We do give. Oh, we feel good. We do give. But it's like the computer made the decision for us. Well, I think it's better for the computer to make the decision for us than for us not to give. But we're trying to figure out a way to balance that. But is discipline issues just keeping you from it? Because you should. Sometimes we just put it off. I don't do it today. Do it next week. Trouble is, you get 3-4 months behind, you're not going to ever be able to make it. And then probably this last one's the one that probably bothers us all the most, or should bother us. And that is, we just look at it and say, I know what it says. Ain't going to do it. I mean, is that the way we respond to the grace of God? Uh-uh. Ought not to be. God has called us to give because God has been so faithful to us. He has been so generous to us. He has been so gracious to us. As the song we sang before the message, great is his faithfulness. Now let me just kind of wrap this up. I know there are some of us here today, some of y'all here today, and you've done great in that. And I bet if I stopped right now and we just kind of passed the mic, I am certain that a lot of you could say, you know what? You're spot on. God has blessed. I give, my money's a mystery. I don't know how in the world it covers it because I give the first 10 to God and God takes care of the rest. And I'm looking at the future and I'm not worried because God has provided. And I know there's folks in here that have that as their testimony. But I think there's others in here that probably it's just the opposite. In some ways, you look at it and it's like, I don't know. There is no way we could do it. Here's what I want to really challenge you to do. If you're in that situation, you look at it and say, 10%? I couldn't even do 2%. Every month? Weekly, like some people do? You know, however you decide to strategize in it, I want to encourage you right now to test the Lord. I mean, give. Not because you look at it and say, oh, there's enough money in there to give. I want you to give because this book told you to give and see what God does. And I would be very, very surprised if you don't see God's blessing. Not that you're going to win the lottery. Not that you're going to go in tomorrow and they're going to give you a big bonus or a title change. But you are going to see God provide. When you bring a part of your life under the lordship of Jesus Christ in obedience to give, in this specific instance, you will see God's enablement to be able to give. And I can guarantee you, it will become one of the most fulfilling areas of your life. I remember when we started giving, I think the way God really wanted us to, it's like money didn't matter anymore. It didn't matter anymore. I wasn't consumed with, am I getting a raise? Am I getting this? Or, you know, I mean, I enjoyed going to Sam's with Vicki and buying food for seven children. You know, I didn't sweat it out because it was like, oh man, why is she buying more bread? I mean, I just saw God's blessing and enablement to do what he has called us to do, to feed and clothe these seven kids. And I just challenge you, if you're in that second category and you're saying, you know what, we're not there, in faith, I want to encourage you to make it right. And in the month of May, give that. And I guarantee you, you will see God's blessing. And you'll be able to do it in June and July and August and on. And it will become one of the most exciting spiritual adventures to see how God provides. You can do that, or you can just go back to slugging it out and saying, how am I going to feed and clothe and save for retirement? Let me tell you, I think this is one of those areas where we can get with God and God says, watch me work. I'll take care of you. No one ever went hungry because they gave too much to the church. No one ever missed payments because they gave too much to the church. God says, I will take care of you. I will bless you. I will flourish you. And I will make you to experience my joy and my goodness. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for just the privilege to be able to think deeply about just a very, very personal area of life. Father, I pray that of all the information that we got today, I pray the main one we would have gotten is that all of this is yours. All that money in my retirement account, Vicky's retirement account, and everyone else's retirement account, and their savings account, their checkbook. It's all yours. It's not mine. It's none of ours. And so, Father, I pray that today we would be incredibly good stewards of your goodness. Father, you have been so faithful to us. And Father, we want to be faithful to you. So, Father, we just really do pray that in your way, in your wisdom, you, Father, would show us your goodness. I want you to sing with me. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Father, now dismiss us with your blessing. Go before us and just make it a great day. Father, we once again just want to thank you for the mothers among us. Father, we thank you for their godliness. We thank you for their sacrifice to their children, their grandchildren. And Father, we pray that today would be just a great day for them. And Father, help us to show them the honor and respect that they so richly deserve. Father, help us to be salt and light as we move about this community. And then we pray that people would come to know Jesus Christ through the good works that we have provided in thanksgiving to you for that free salvation that Christ provided for us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hey, God bless. Have a great day.